Hey, fellow NDE fans, we have some exciting things coming up on the other side, but we could really use your help and support to keep going with this channel. Our outreach team works around the clock, making sure to bring you the best NDE stories that we can find. But now we're looking to expand into other countries to get near-death experiences from around the globe. However, we need your help and support to make this happen. This is why we're introducing our YouTube membership program. Get access to exclusive ad-free episodes that haven't been on YouTube. Watch and participate in live Q&As with the guests. Engage directly with us and NDEers. Participate in giveaways and live events. And most importantly, you will ensure our channel's continuous efforts to seek out and uncover these important experiences worldwide. Support us by hitting the Join Now button below. Thank you for your continued viewership and support. Your help will make a difference, and we look forward to building our community together with you.
My name is Sharon Sananda Kumara, and I've actually had two NDEs, one at the age of 9 when I was a little girl, and another in 2001. At the age of 9, what happened was I was being horribly abused by a distant family member, not an immediate, but a distant family member who would come and visit the house. My sister and I lived with our grandparents at the time because our parents were divorced and they were going through a lot of things in their lives. And so after our grandfather died, our grandmother pretty much raised us until the age of 13 for me and until our early teen years. And then we went to live with our parents in different situations. But in this one instance, I was out in our grape orchard looking for rocks. I used to hunt agates when I was a kid, and I was always a rock hound. And so I was looking for rocks in a grape orchard behind the house. And he found me there, and I was trying to get away from him. And he ended up hurting me and hitting me. He made sure that he would hurt me in my body where there weren't any marks on my face or anything like that. And he did tell me if I told anyone that he would kill me. So I, at that age, when it was going on for a couple of years, I didn't tell anyone. So at that point, when he hit me underneath my ribs, I felt this intense pain, and I immediately shot out of my head, out of my body. And at that moment, I felt this huge peace because I was out of my body. I didn't feel the pain anymore. It was just this immense peace. And I recognized that this is what had happened, that I had died, left my body. And so I'm floating there in this space, and it wasn't the light. I didn't understand it after I remembered the experience, because it was darkness, but not darkness. It wasn't dark like we understand dark. It was more, heard people describe it as the void. So I was in this space called, has been described as the void, of not actually seeing anything, but being a part. I knew I was a part of everything. I could still be me, and I'm floating in this space, but I was a part of everything. Anything that was ever or could be, I was a part of that. And it's difficult to describe because I felt so comforted and so supported and didn't lack for anything. So I floated there for a little while in this space. I can't say time-wise how long I was there, but it could have been a minute. It could have been a year, 10 years. I don't know. But in my memory of it, after I came back and remembered everything that, or remembered what I remembered, that it didn't seem very long. And then I was met by a being who I recognized as Jesus. And he comes to me, and I'm not floating anymore. I'm on some type of a solid ground. I don't see anything around me. I just know that I'm perched or floating on something solid. I'm just there with him, and he's kneeling down in front of me, and I recognize him right away. And I was raised Catholic, but I was not religious or anything like that. And so I recognized him as Jesus, and he tells me, "You've suffered enough, my child." He called me my child. "You don't have to go back. You can come with me." And at that point, I told him, "But I'm not finished what I need to do." I had this awareness that I had a job to do, and I knew that I needed to go back into this dense reality in order to finish that job, finish my mission, finish what I came here to do. And I didn't have a huge awareness of it after when I came back. I didn't have any memory of it. I remembered it later after my second near-death experience. However, at that age, when I went to the higher planes and was met by him, I did have a consciousness of what my mission was. I didn't want to have to start over. And that's what I intuited, because we were speaking telepathically. I intuited to him telepathically and said to him, "But I don't want to have to start over." And he said, "Are you sure?" I said, "Yes, please." So I ended up, it immediately was back in my body. And I don't have memory of what happened after that, although I do know that the abuse that was happening stopped after that. I do have memory of that it didn't happen anymore. This person stopped coming around. Things got in the way of us being together, alone together. And then I went through my life. And in 2001, I lived in San Antonio, Texas. And the first was in Oregon. The first NDE was in Oregon, where I was raised. And I was going inner tubing down the Guadalupe River in New Braunfels, Texas, with some girlfriends for a girlfriend's birthday. And we had a really good time. We went tubing down the river. It was the end of the day, and we were all ready to get back on this shuttle bus, because we used an outfitter to take us to the river and pick us back up to take us back to our cars. So the bus that picked us up was one of those little school buses that holds about 13, I think it's 13, around 15 or something like that. And the bus was pulling a trailer that carried our inner tubes and our ice chests, one of those small trailers. And so we got on. I was the first one of my group. There was five or six of us. And I was the first one to get on the bus. And I saw that the bus was full. All the seats were full. And I turned around. I started to turn around to get off. And they were saying, "No, come on. You can stand in the aisle," the people in the back. So I thought, well, it's not that long of a trip, just a couple miles, maybe three. So I got back on, kept going, and went to the back of the bus. And my friends came on. And then as the driver is driving down the road and he's switching gears, it's a manual, and he's switching gears. And so we're kind of jerking back and forth. I'm thrown up against the back door. The door pops open and I fall out of the back door. I land on my back on the trailer hitch. I bounce off of that and on my back again, and then bounce onto the pavement. It was in the 90s. It was pretty hot. And I bounce again onto my side. And at that point, I realized that I had this knowing that the trailer was going to run over me. And I screamed in my head, "Stop, you're killing me." And at that point, one of the wheels of the trailer ran over my head. And that's when I popped out of my body through my head again. And I knew once more that I had died. And I was looking at what was happening. I was floating above my body. And I could see that my body was in the road. And I could see these cars coming, and that the bus with the trailer is still moving. So he doesn't know that I'd fallen out yet. My friends told me later they were screaming at him to stop. And he finally did stop. And so I'm laying in the road and I see this traffic coming. And I see a big bus coming. I'm thinking, oh gosh, I hope that bus doesn't run over my body, because that would make a real big mess. Again, I feel this peace, and I don't feel any pain or anything like that. And I'm thinking also that we had such a good day. It would be a really bad thing. It would ruin my friend's day that here I go and die on them. That's what I was thinking. I was thinking, oh gosh, here I go and die on them. We had such a good day and now they're going to have to deal with me dying. That was the thoughts that were going through my head. I didn't have an attachment to my body or to what was going on there. I was watching it like watching a movie, and I was thinking about the people I was leaving behind. I was thought about my boyfriend at the time. I thought, oh, he'll be sad for a while, but he'll get over it. He'll be fine. I was thinking about my sister at the time and her family. She has a family. I was thinking she has her family, so she'll be sad for a while, but she'll be fine. And then I thought about my mom, who was still there. My stepfather had passed 3 years earlier, who I really missed. And I thought about my mom, and I thought, because I kind of took care of my mom. We were very close. I lived very close to her. And as soon as I thought about my mom, I felt a presence behind me, and it was my stepdad. And I turned around, and it was my stepdad. And he's telling me telepathically that I need to go back, that I can't stay. He was saying I can't stay. And I didn't want to go back. This time I didn't want to go back. I lived quite a few years on my, I'm done kind of thing. And this is when I was a partier, you know, I wasn't religious or anything like that. And I didn't have, I mean, I always knew there was a higher power and I always try to live by the golden rule and things like that. But I didn't have that connection to anything that was a tangible spiritual connection. And when he's communicating with me, I see this portal open up. It's light, but it's not super bright. It's just this portal. And I see these white light and I see these beings that are in the portal and I recognize them. And I'm seeing, it's difficult to explain, but it's not like seeing, but I sense them and I see them at the same time. On one side is my maternal family and ancestors. And on the other side is my paternal family and ancestors. And I recognize some that are more in the front that I knew on the planet, that I knew here in this life, like my grandparents. I knew the others that were there. I wouldn't have recognized them here. Their face was kind of deadpan. They weren't welcoming me. They were kind of deadpan, and I got the feeling that they weren't there to welcome me home. And then before I was able to move further down the tunnel, I see this big, bright light portal like the sun. Beautiful golden white sunlight. It's a portal, but it didn't hurt my eyes. It was just so bright. And I see a being walking out of this portal. Well, it's a portal of light. And it's so bright and it's huge. And I recognized as he gets closer, I recognized him as Jesus again. And this time I flew to him because I really, really missed him, even though I didn't have that tangible or conscious connection with him. I knew that he was there still with me every step of the way in my life. And it wasn't an easy life, but he was there with me. I knew that as soon as I saw him and recognized him, I knew that he had always been there with me. And he's intuiting to me and helping me understand that I need to go back, that I've come so far that my job is not done. My mission is not done. What I've set out to do is not finished yet. And this was in 2001. And I told him I didn't want to, that I wanted to stay with him. So it was quite different. He's laughing. What I remember it so much is his laughter. It was like a balm to me. His presence was like a balm to me. It was, and as he's holding me, I can feel this merging of our energies, and I'm a part of him, and I'm also separate, if that makes any sense. I realize that I am Sharon. I still have that awareness, but I'm also a part of him. I feel his intense compassion and love for me. And anything that I may have been worried about or, you know, felt bad about or anything like that is totally gone. And the only thing that I can think of is his, that I am experiencing It's more than thinking, it's experiencing being at one with His love, His light. It's all that exists. That's all that exists. And so as we're communicating, He asked me if I'd like to go on a journey, if He'd like to go on a journey with Him. And of course, yes. And so as we're communicating there and speaking and communicating telepathically, He takes my hand and I take His hand for me to take His hand. And I put my hand in His. Immediately, we are moving through the cosmos. Now, when I was with Him earlier, there, I didn't notice anything around us, anything at all. We're moving through the cosmos. I feel like we're moving because things are, the stars are going past us so quickly. And there's darkness in stars. So I know that we're moving through the cosmos, or it's moving through us. It's hard to describe. And then we stop, the floating above a planet that I recognize as a water planet. I immediately recognize this planet as a planet that I have an expression on. I live on in another frequency as a water being. I have a mer family there. And this is where I am happiest in my expressions, my physical expressions, the physical life. And so as we're floating there, I have the intuition and memory and remembrance that I can move my focus to being the actual planet, to be in awareness of the planet that holds everything on the planet. And I felt so much immense love for all the beings on the planet, so much love and compassion for every being on my body as the planet. And then I can move my focus back down to where I can be aware of any of the beings on the planet. And so we move down onto the planet and I become aware of myself as a mer being there and my family. And I'm moving down and we're moving down into the water and we start swimming in the water as a mer, a mermaid. And it was just so cleansing and felt so and healing for me, for my heart, for my soul, after being on this dense reality in 3D. It was definitely an immense gift that He gave me to bring back with me. And so I was reunited with my parents, there, with my family. I have children, I have a mate, and we communed in that space. And I do not remember what happened after that. I have not brought that memory back yet because I wanted to be there so badly. But I know that I came back to my body. I came back to my body. I was in the road. I jump up from my body and run to the side of the road. And I don't know how long I was out. I couldn't have been too long because my friends were off the bus and they were helping me, you know, trying to get me up. And I jump up and I run to the side of the road. I was protected. My body was protected. I did go through a lot of rehabilitation. I didn't know, mainly just muscle damage and nerve damage and ligament damage, that type of thing. My hair fell out for a while. They joked with me that I had tire tracks across my head, which I did, but certain parts of my head, and I had a lot of road rash, but nothing was broken or anything like that. And so I was protected, and I do have to maintain my back and do, because I did have back injury and a head injury for a while, but not a concussion. And so afterwards, what I've learned the most, and I started working with Him, with Jesus, with Yeshua, who I called Yeshua, intensely afterwards. It took me a little while to remember my experiences, but there's still more memory of it coming to me. What I've learned the most from Him and what He taught me first was that God is love. We are God in expressing God, that we are love. That is what we are, love. And we come here to express that and to remember that. And that's our main goal.